London now smiles to see Oxford in tears, who lately derided and scoffed at her fears, thinking their joys they would never be spent, but that always they'd last with the Parliament. But oh, she's mistaken, for now they are gone, and fairly have left her to grieve all alone. Now vintners and tapsters that hoped for such gain, by cheating the people have cause to complain. The cooks that were stored with provisions now grieve, whilst London to hear it does laugh in her sleeve. And now each fat hostess who lives by the sins of those who brought many to whimper begins. So dolefully told now the bells that of late with odd sounds did a pleasure to hear them create. The innkeepers late that so prodigal were of standings have horse room enough and to spare, whilst London rejoices to think of the time when Oxford bells jangled and scarcely could chime. Now salesmen and seamstresses homeward do pack, no more, cries the shoemaker, what do you lack? The tailor by thimble and bodkin does curse, and swears that his trading could never be worse. Yet home again barefoot poor Pricklas must trudge, whilst Oxford he bans and his labour does grudge. The chairman who thought to return with a load of silver to London to store their abode, now homeward do foot it, though 'tis with much pain, and creep in their chairs to secure them from rain. When night does approach there, their lodgings they make, for a better to purchase no monies they take. The coffee men wish they at London had stayed, and not to have rambled in hopes of a trade. Their shops of sedition did fall of their end, and back now their puddle to London they send, while she does deride them and flout them to scorn, to see their ears hanging as if they were forlorn. Oh, the scholars now curse the gay cracks of the town, who trooped it to London to trade for a crown. The youngsters put in and bid money for all, but the jades are so skittish they gave them a fall. And many in watering their nags have been burned, the baths were so hot ere the stream could be turned. Whilst curmudgeons of all the best trading will find, for the cracks being fled they have left work behind, that doubtless repentance unfeigned will cause. The goldsmiths and drapers now stand at a pause, how they plan in their journey the paddlers to scrape, whilst London for joy at their follies does leap. She hears the sad soundings of Oxford's great bell, which now the town's heaviness plainly do tell, how their laughter they lately against her did vent, for enjoying the court and the parliament, is now turned to weeping, and each one sits sad, to think what a loss by dissolving he's had. Remember then, Oxford, how London you flout, for she'll be still even with you, 'tis no doubt. England's chief city must still bear the bell, for near it the most part the king he will dwell, and cheer her with favours whilst Oxford sits sad, and many lament the bad trade they've been had.